Every now and again, when you get up to preach, you look around and you think to yourself, now where did I put that sermon? Sorry to say, I found it. Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems all things. Amen. So often when I read this text, I think to myself, who is my family? When I read the story of Jesus, that as he comes home, he finds himself surrounded. And it says in the text that there were so many people that they could hardly even eat. Everybody surrounded and crowded around Jesus and the disciples. And those who were the religious authorities were there as well. They see Jesus, and they must have gone and talked to his parents and said, is this the right one? Because we don't remember him being like this. This kind of strange itinerant preacher who's gone out into the wilderness and sat with the Holy Spirit, who was baptized by John and who had gathered around him disciples. And he comes home to his family to a reception that none of us would particularly like. They too see in him a stranger. They see in his preaching and in his being, in his very visage, someone that they were not expecting. So that when the religious authorities look at Jesus and pronounce, he has a demon in him, they agree. Or at least seem to. His brothers and his sisters are right there with him. And Jesus looks and they say, look, here is your brother, here is your sister. And he says, who is my family? Jesus identifies family as the ones who do the will of God. What a strange way to talk about family. Depending on your generation, the definition of family has changed a lot over the years. I mean, you would have expected in the time of Jesus that family would have been traced by bloodline, the mother's bloodline. You knew who you were by who your family was. If you were a carpenter, then often you became a carpenter. If you were a shepherd, bummer. If your dad was a shepherd, bummer, you're going to be a shepherd too. Even worse, if your dad was a priest. You just stuck being a priest. And then things began to change. Laws, you know, in the early days, the definition of family was so important that laws were established to preserve those bloodlines. In ancient times, all the way up into modern history, in many societies, it was forbidden to marry outside of your ethnic or your color. You couldn't marry outside your ethnicity or your color, and in some communities, even your religion or nationality was really important in choosing a mate. In the generation before me, people said that Luther League was not really for the formation of youth, but so that you could find the proper wife or proper husband from the right Lutheran church. So that the Norwegians were always very careful not to have youth events with the Swedes. That was a mixed marriage. And of course, we make fun of ourselves, but there's also this whole tragic part of our own American history about who families are. That folks from the South could not marry folks from the North. That black people could not marry white people. God forbid that a Chinese woman be married to a white man. And then even within the ethnicity itself, that in an attempt to preserve the purity or the identity of a particular kind of people, family took on a very closed look. So is it any wonder that Jesus' family and the religious authorities think him to be crazy? Because throughout his ministry, instead of focusing and concentrating and keeping all of those rules in place, instead of preserving the societal and religious norms, Jesus expands what they mean. He pulls apart in so many ways all of the norms that were so comfortable and well established. He must have been to want to do that. He must have been crazy to lift up a definition of family not based on blood or ethnicity or religion, but on doing the will of God. Now, family change has changed a lot over the years. For those of us who are a little bit older, and I'll explain it to those of you who are... You ever heard Beaver Cleaver, Karen? I love the blank look that I get, right? It's like, is that a band? Would have made a great one. Back in the 50s and early 60s, those of us who remember Beaver Cleaver, Ward, you remember Hugh Downs, and then there was Wally, the older son, and then Beaver Cleaver. And it was, for so long, it was the American image of what family was. A man and a woman and their two children living in a nice ranch. Well, it wasn't a ranch. It was two stories because he was always running up those stairs. In their nice little two-story house, middle-class perfection. Beaver was just always in trouble, but it was just this beautiful thing. And Mom stayed at home, and every day at 6 o'clock, when Hugh Downs walked into the kitchen, there was Beaver's mom, June, thank you. June, fixing dinner. Yes, thank you. I forgot about that. With a skirt and an apron. And high heels. Yeah, that was true. Yeah, pearls. She's cooking a pot roast with pearls. Really? But that was the popular image of what family was. And of course, it had not much more to do with reality than anything else. But that was family. Well, family looks these days. And yet, within the religious world, within the Christian church, that became what family was. You could identify it and know what it looked like. Well, now, if we want to use television again, we've now gone from Beaver Cleaver to the cast of Modern Family. Okay. This is called a role reversal. Karen laughs, and you all go, huh? I love that. Oh, the generations. Modern Family is this new show, again, about dysfunctional people. But it's about this different kind of families. You know, these two, the self-absorbed couple with no children who are all career-bound and look beautiful. And then there's the kind of weird family with the strange children. But then there's the two gay men who are just over the moon about being parents and really bad at it. Except for one thing, they love unconditionally. Now, you put Beaver Cleaver and Modern Family next to one another and you see, at least in popular media, how the definition of family has changed. Jesus expands what it means to be family even within the religious world. Families have a very different look these days. It is no longer outrageous for little Jenny to have two moms and little Timmy to have two dads. I have transgendered female to male friends who have made just this wonderful family together. And this woman who was transgendered into a male is by all accounts a great, great dad. Poor Beaver, and I think the scribes would go out of their minds thinking about this something new that is unfolding in God's world. this new kind of family. Jesus is describing a new way to begin to think about what family is, and it has to do with doing the will of God. It has nothing to do with blood. It has nothing to do with ethnicity. It has nothing to do with nationalism. But rather, it's focused on what it means to do God's will. We're really lucky here in Hawaii. We have a concept of family that's a little bit different. Certainly, all of those other things exist, but we use this word and we use it lightly, and we ought not, but that concept of ohana, in which our understanding of family is wider and deeper. And it includes the children who are ours biologically, but also Hanai children and Hanai uncles and aunts. It includes that circle of friends and close relatives that we call ohana. It's interesting, in my time when we had a family dinner, it involved my brothers, which meant that we had to kind of eat in a certain order, because if we had mashed potatoes, my brother Ron always had to go last, or else none of us would get any. But I think back to one of our employees a while back. Her understanding of family was altogether different, because the world has become so diasporized and we're not around our family. So she called one day and she said, would you like to come to a family dinner? And my being old, I said, well, is your folks in town? Well, not one person who was there was related to her in any way. But they were her family. They were people joined by friendship and love and the love of God. That was her ohana. You see, Jesus kind of flips things over on its head in this text. The focus for family is no longer on us. The focus for family is on God, on God's love, on God's forgiveness. And before we get too soft on it, frankly, God's demands and God's expectations. Those become the catalyst for being God's family. The focus is not on our prejudices or our preferences, our tastes in people or in music or art or theology. It is described in a different way for Jesus. Those who do the will of God. Which means, I guess in my mind, that family is described not only in terms of the relationship that we have with one another, but also our relationship and how it's carried into our relationship with the whole cosmos and with God. For Paul, the expanding of the ohana included Gentiles. We're sort of like, ooh. The Gentiles. I mean, it's not a big deal for us, right? Because Gentile, Schmentile, who cares? I mean, it's sort of like in our modern age saying, well, Jesus has proclaimed that now left-handed people are part of the ohana. And right-handed people finally can take communion. But for Peter and for others who traveled with Jesus, that inclusion of the Gentiles was a radical thought. It broke them open and created something new. They believed that Jesus had come for the Jews and that God was bringing the Messiah to set the Jewish people free. And suddenly, Paul hears in Jesus that the ohana now includes the Gentile. Through Jesus, Paul deepens his life and our lives and the relationship of the whole Christian community when he not only invites the Gentiles, but names them as adopted children, full and righteous members of the body of Christ. The family, the Ohana, expands. The body of Christ begins to take on a new hue and an exciting mission. And it grows beyond the little cult of Jewish disciples who follow this apparently crazy itinerant preacher named Jesus. So how is the family expanding now? How do we call one another brother and sister in a way that's related to doing the will of God, which is somehow wrapped up not just in the sayings of Jesus, but in the sacrificial being of Jesus and of the Christ? We will, of course, always, as a congregation, as individuals, and as a church, tend to cling to those who are most like us, perpetuating a practice that Jesus seems to abhor. But there are moments, and there are certainly opportunities, to begin to think of family and Ohana as being attached to the will of God. Not to close it in, but to break it open in the gospel. To see, as I said last week, what God is already doing out there. And finding our family not just within the walls of one place, but within the vast openness of God's expanding ministry. Yesterday, a group of us walked in the Gay Pride Parade, and it was really funny to walk along and have people cheer Lutherans. We're just not accustomed to that. But we would drive along, and all of a sudden people would go, "Yay, it's the Lutherans!" We're like, "Where?" But they saw a witness of God at work. And they see us doing the will of God and feeding hungry people and being compassionate and listening to the stories of hurt and of joy and being drawn again and again and again into Christ's expanding view of the Ohana, the body of Christ. Amen.